Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. Ladies and gentlemen, this interview is brought to you by Burn Up Coaching and the 21-Day Challenge. If you're an entrepreneur or high achiever and you're committed to getting to your next level of success, you want to get unstuck, you want to reignite your self-belief and passion and succeed like never before, the 21-Day Challenge might be the short-term burst of impact, intensity, action, and achievement that you need to unlock your greatest possible self. So we'll get clear on your one-year goals. We'll break down into bite-sized steps and have you a crystal-clear 21-day challenge goal that you will be out to achieve and accomplish. You'll have daily progress reports, weekly deep-dive calls to dial in your to really remove the limiting beliefs and programming that has been stopping you from success. We'll dial in your morning and nighttime routines and get you tracking your habits so that you can be performing at the highest level possible. So if you're interested in that, send me a message, chris@beyourgps.com email, or you can send me a message on Facebook, facebook.com/th3burns. Would love to hear from you and see if it's a good fit for you. Join the 21-day challenge today. Now for the iTunes review of the week, it is by Shanti Yogini. And Shanti Yogini says, uplifting and inspiring. This podcast is true to its name. No matter what area of discussion we are interested in, it will help bring out our strengths and make us be our highest possible self in that specific area. I first listened to the episode Marketing with Heart versus Hype. Cindy and Chris rocked the show. Chris is natural in making the guests their highest possible self during the interview by asking the right questions. Time just flew by. Dear blessed and beloved Chris, keep rocking, keep inspiring. And the world needs more leaders like you. So thank you so much, Shanti Yogini. And if you are excited to give us feedback, you want to let us know what you love, what you think could be improved, let's do that right now today. Go to beyourgps.com/iTunes to give us that review, or search Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self on iTunes, or search Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self on Facebook and give us a review like that. We appreciate it. Thank you so much in advance. This woman, oh my goodness, she's going to rock the house. I'm so excited to have her on because Dr. Ida Green is a one of a kind. Make sure you stay tuned all the way till the end, because I know she's going to be sharing some really, really great information. Dr. Ida Green, PhD, is a spiritual coach, channels messages from God, and she is also a speaker, a licensed marriage, family, child therapist, NLP practitioner, Reiki practitioner, energetic healer, and author of 23 best-selling books, ordained minister, and also a registered nurse. This woman is a powerhouse. She teaches you how to tap into your inner wisdom, intuition, and have access to your personal power to have loving, empowered relationships that serve themselves and humanity. Dr. Ida will lift you out of your ordinary daily happenings to experience renewed energy, enthusiasm, inner joy on your journey to stand strong in your personal power as your divine self, using self-love and intuition as a tool. Dr. Ida offers individual intuitive coaching and group coaching on how to develop and grow your intuition. And she's here today to share her wisdom, her life wisdom with us, all the things that she's applied with her clients and everyone who she's impacted. And we are so blessed to have her. Dr. Ida, are you ready to rock this?
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. I love it. I love the energy. You're ready. You're ready to go. Awesome. Let's do this. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on here and dedicating your time and your energy to helping people become their greatest possible self. We appreciate you, Dr. Ida.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's dive right into the theme of the day, which today is a universe of duality. And we like to open it up with this question to have our audience think and get to know you a little bit more about what your perspective is on life. So Dr. Ida, how does this concept of a universe of duality, how has that played a role in your life? How has it impacted your life?
It impacted my life many ways, because oftentimes what we see and what we think, or what I have thought was real, was not really real. And when I look beyond to the true essence of that, there was something beneath that. And usually people don't really show their real self. They show the person that they want you to see. But when you get closer and get deeper to it, you find the real person, the authentic person. And many people are afraid to show their real self because they've been hurt, they've been traumatized, they've been emotionally challenged and quizzed and checked. So they are not ready to show up in their real self. So when they're comfortable, the real self shows up, but not at first.
Wow. I love it. I love it. That's a great response. Thank you. Thank you. So for people who are just getting to know you, Dr. Ida, tell us a little bit more about what you do. I read your intro, but just firsthand account, what is it that you do, and who are you supporting? What do you got going on today?
Well, you know, I really am a healer of the planet. I call myself an earth angel because I'm really here to teach about love, to be love, to show up in a loving way, and to help people to get that, to really love themselves. I've had to, all my life, working on loving myself, self-love, and value and appreciating myself and my worth. And I feel with all the training and the education, with me being an ordained minister and you know, my PhD, if I still need to keep doing this stuff, I feel other people need to keep doing it too. So it's an ongoing daily practice of loving yourself, growing in your self-worth, growing in your intuition, and really letting your best self shine. So I see us as diamonds in the rough that need to be polished so our divine real self can show up.
Wow, so beautiful. I love it. So let's dive back into the journey. How did you get to this powerful woman who's empowering people in their relationships with love? Like, how did you get to where we are today? Where did the journey really begin for you?
For me, it began when I was in an abusive marriage. And I thought, you know, I've never been hit before, and I've never been hurt, and I've never been, my dad never hit me before. And I thought, well, why is this happening? And so first I was in a shock, couldn't believe it. And no one knew that I was in this abuse, because abusive men keep their spouses, they keep them in hiding, they keep them in isolation, they don't let them tell anyone about their struggle. So I was getting black and blue, and no one knew that I was going through these troubles. And at first I started to fight back, and first I was quiet and just took it, and I thought, well, I can't do that. And I started fighting back and getting black and blue, and that didn't work. And so I finally had to make decisions, because I thought, you know, if this man hit me, I'm not going to let him hit me another time. In fact, I'm going to make up my mind to do something. And I was thinking about harming him. I thought, you know, if I harm him, I'm going to go to prison. So I had to figure out how to leave him. But it took time, because my heart was there, and I was in love, and I had a child. I had a foster child that I thought needed a father, and had all these things where I just couldn't leave right away. So it took me some time to find, you know, take my courage, to take back my power, and finally walk away. And then once I did walk away, I started thought, with all this education at the time, I was a registered nurse. I was studying, I had my bachelor's and my master's, and I was studying to become a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I thought, with all this education, if this could happen to me, it could happen to anyone. So I started teaching classes on self-esteem and self-worth and self-confidence and going to the shelters. And that's what got me in this journey of self-worth and self-esteem and self-love, because I realized that I had given away my power. Here I was a very powerful person, but I gave up my power to be loved by a man and thought that he loved me when he really didn't love himself. So it's got me started on really helping other people to realize how powerful you are. And if it could happen to me, so it has nothing to do with education. You can have all the education in the world you want, but if you're a woman, you're more likely to be seeking love and loving someone else more than you love yourself, and putting other needs before your own needs, like my son and this man's needs came first, and my needs were not important. So when you put all those things ahead of you, you become less important. You become into denial that you're not important. And pretty soon you can just stay there and take this abuse for years and years. And a lot of the women that I work with have been in marriages for 30 years, and they tell me they still there, and they They didn't have the courage to walk. So I was one of the few that was able to walk away. Yeah. Most people can't walk away. So I don't tell them at first. I said, you know, I don't want you to leave your husband. Let's just talk about healing you and healing your relationship before you walk away.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think you should leave. Once you become aware, you need to realize why you're there, how why you tolerate this long, and walk yourself out. My mom said something to me that was really powerful. She said, when you have your hands in a lion's mouth, you have to ease it out slowly. Mm-hmm. Which means I had to stop talking about leaving the man, stop telling him how bad he was, how horrible he was, just keep my mouth shut and plan my exit gradually and gently before I leave. Otherwise, it would have been a lot of trauma. And as it was, he stalked me. I had to get a police order on him. I had to get him put in jail because he was harassing me. He stole my car, and he took me to jail and took me to court and wanted me to pay him alimony because at the time I was a teacher. So it's just a lot. When people don't like to let go, when they lose anything, they hold on tight and they hold on to that grip, and you're caught in that grip. So I was in a mess.
Wow. So you went through this challenge of your own, and you had to plan your leave, and you did that gradually and slowly, and then you moved into these classes where you could teach others about self-care, self-love, self-esteem. So how did you get from that place to writing, you know, 20 plus bestsellers, and you know, really, like, what was that journey like? What were some of the biggest challenges around building a brand, around becoming a leader, a speaker, a coach? You know, how did you build that brand?
All of my writing was for healing myself. So I wrote about my problem, and then they became books, but it was, everything was what I was going through, the challenges I was having about my self-esteem. You know, I was trying to grow a business, how to be assessed in business and understand the relationship, looking for love in all the wrong places. All of these were problems that I owned, and I just wrote about them to heal myself. And as a result of that, I was able to write a book. But then the book marketing thing was different too, you know. Like, that's what got me in the spiritual path, is I started, I wrote a book on angels, then I started dressing like an angel and going to workshops and seminars like an angel, and people said, are you an angel? Why do you need to escalate? Why don't you just fly? So I had a lot of jokes about that, but that got me into my spiritual path. Then I started counseling children who were seeing angels and talking to the angels. So I had to try to interpret what they were saying. So that got me to this channeling and talking to the angels and talking to the spirit guides, because these kids were seeing all these angels. So that's what brought in this intuition stuff, is really working with the kids, because kids see at least 20, 30 angels, and they are just so evolved. When they get 14, they stop seeing that stuff. But from 2 on, they see angels, they talk to angels, they talk to the spirit guides. So kids are the greatest teachers about the spiritual path.
Wow, that's incredible. And it comes to my mind, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm pretty intuitive today. Like, I can imagine that I would have been doing things like that occasionally when I was younger, but I don't remember any specific situations or circumstances. And I'm sure that there's a part of me that, like, blocked out childhood, or, you know, like, closed off those memories. So, like, I'm excited to reopen those up and discover those, and as the journey goes on, which is really ccool. So you were developing yourself as an author, and what would you say was one of the biggest discoveries or shifts or distinctions that you made in your expertise, your growing journey to be able to impact more people's lives? What was one of the biggest, like, distinctions or keys or mindset shifts that you had?
I had to really own my power, and I think really listening to my intuition helped me a lot, because God, Spirit told me to dress as an angel, and that was a way to promote my book, but also a way to promote me. So I just followed that lead, and that got me. When I went to Book Expo dressed as an angel, I got all kind of book offers, and people want to talk to me. So that was a great marketing tool. Plus, I also started dressing, wearing green as a marketing tool. But that dressing as an angel, going to all those book expos in New York, in Chicago, in LA, that was a huge marketing tool, because it got me a speaking engagement. It also got me to be get the Independent Publisher Award with 21 books at the time.
Wow.
It got me to by the Hollywood Publishers Company in LA. So Dressing as an Angel was a huge, huge marketing tool for me. And I just followed that lead. So following your intuition is really powerful, because that really was a great marketing tool for me.
Wow, so beautiful. So what are some of the key distinctions of, you know, really tapping into our own intuition and self-love? What do we need to do to make that happen? So, like, how do we tap into that?
We definitely have to take time, because I was so busy. We have to take time to go into the silence and carve out some quiet time so we can hear that inner wisdom. And once we get there, there's going to be these conflicting, the chatter in the mind. There's going to be all these voices that's always vying for our attention. But we have to always not listen to that other voice, because what will happen is that we need to be really in tune with our inner self and know that what the inner self is always guiding us, is always leading us into the right direction. So going into that inner quiet space is really important. And with the self-love, there's going to be this doubts. Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? Am I deserving? But I have to tell myself and you know, that I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm here. And I think other people validate you. So I had so many other people validate me that when I was in self-doubt, it boosted my ego. So you have to just go out there and take the leap, take the chance, and people will show up and support you. I found that to be true.
What did it take for you to attract people's support? Why do you think people wanted to support you?
I love people. Mm-hmm. I love people. I mean, to me, it's just like a good meal. I just love life. I love people. I love talking to people. Mm. People give me energy. They give me life. They give me joy. They are just the juice that, they're my oxygen. So because I love people and I love talking to people and meeting people, I never meet a stranger. So I always tell myself, I go to meet my family. So wherever I go, I'm going to meet someone that I know, that like me and know me. And because I go with that premise that I'm going to meet my family, I meet my family. I meet people that like me and love me and who want to give me a chance. And I found that I'm irresistible because I'm coming with love, and no one can resist love. So I just go with love and love them. Even if they may not think they don't love me, I tell them they love me. They do love me because I love them. We're a good match.
I love it.
I'm selling love, really.
Yeah, and naturally, as human beings, like, we want love. That's all we want is to give love and receive love and be loving. And our souls know that. And I think people have forgotten that. And their minds say, oh, no, I'm not supposed to have love, or it's dangerous to love, or different things like that. So what are your thoughts to the people who think it's dangerous to love, or it's not safe to love, or they don't trust love?
I try to get them to move beyond that. I really have a natural sense of humor, so I try to get people to let down their guard, and I will sometimes get them, I'll joke about myself or make fun of myself to get them to open up, to share with me, to help them to see that there's nothing to fear. So I'm always using myself as a tool to de-arm people, to let their guard down so they can let me into their heart. And once they let me, I have strangers tell me the most powerful secrets about themselves, but it's because I start talking about myself and my problems and my challenges, and they think, well, if she's got all this, she's a PhD, she can talk about her problem, and she's had all these problems, I guess I can talk about mine. So I just talk about what I've gone through and how challenging it was to me and how I made it through that, and it gives them hope, and it gives them, open the door for them to share their own deep feeling, because I talk about my pain and my hurt and what I've gone through.
Yeah, powerful. So powerful. So is it easy for, would you say it's easy for people to tap into their love, to remember what it's like to love, to feel love? And if so, how do we do it? Or what's a way to access that love faster?
It is not easy, but the one tool that I try to get people to do is start accepting themselves, accepting the worst thing that could possibly happen to them, and seeing that as God vessel to help them to shine and to grow, because we grow from our challenges and our problems. So I try to get people to see that the worst thing about, to accept the worst thing about them and realize that the worst thing about them is the thing that's going to make them have the breakthrough that they need to become their best self. So it's really through our challenges and our, it's really through our challenges that we soar. And without challenges, we could not rise from the phoenix, from the ashes, to go higher. So we really have to look at our shortcomings, our challenges, the problem we've had, and see how we can move through that. And once you move through it, you feel victorious. And once you have a little bit of success, the rest is history. You can just keep moving.
Wow. So powerful. What do you think keeps people from accepting themselves? What do you think it is that stops
self-criticism? Because I've done it myself. I've criticized myself and doubted myself and thought that I was not pretty. You know, I grew up in the South in African American, you know, dark complexion, light complexion people, really Caucasian people were kind of beautiful. So I didn't really think that I was beautiful. So I had to constantly work on telling myself I was beautiful, that I was worthy, I was deserving. I had to sell me on me, because I was in a society that said my skin color didn't have value and I didn't have value as a human being. So I had to constantly keep reminding myself that I did have value, that I was important. So everyone has some kind of limitation. If it's not race, is some kind of a mole or mark or something. We're all flawed in some way. And some people, I've talked to people, their forehead is, this one that said, my forehead's so wide you could get a tractor trailer on it. You know, people say all these things about themselves, and that one has a mole and the other has big lips and thin lips. No one likes himself. We all want to remake ourselves all over again. We think that God didn't do a good job and we can do a better job than God. So we want to fix ourselves rather than just accepting what we were given. We were given that body to learn how to value and appreciate it. But somehow we think that God did a bad job. But everybody, there's something wrong with everybody. There's no perfect person. We all have problems. So I tell people, just join the club. And I also tell them, we're all a little crazy, so just join the club.
That's right.
There's no normal people. Everyone is a little crazy, so just join the group.
Well, I think it speaks to how people strive to be normal, right? They strive to fit in. They strive to not rub people the wrong way. And in that pursuit, they contrive themselves. They, you know, contort and contrive to try to fit in, and they put on masks in these different things that cause the pressure and the anxiety and the stress and the tension to build up, which is why we end up living in a world with so many fatalities of suicides and stuff like that, because people don't feel like they're able to just be themselves or share or ask for help or, you know, to be a little bit crazy, to be a little bit weird. You know, I think it's celebrating that weirdness, celebrating that diversity, that uniqueness is what is, it brings life to each of us when we're able to celebrate that and come together from all different kinds of walks of life and then come together and celebrate those aspects of ourselves.
I think if we were all taught that we all have flaws and we all have challenges, but no one tells us that we have flaws, that we have faults, that we have imperfections. No one tells us to embrace those imperfections. So we keep looking outside ourselves for validation, when the validation has to come from inside my heart. I have to love me. You can't love me until I love me. You cannot, and I learned this in that abusive marriage, that, you know, that I need to love me. And if you didn't love me, you would. I also know that love doesn't hurt. I thought, you know, I love me and I don't hit me. If he loved me, he wouldn't hit me. Maybe he doesn't love me. When I thought, I'm living with someone that doesn't love me, I thought, I've got to get away from here because I'm with someone that really hates me. So we've got to start loving ourselves. We have to love come from inside. We have to love ourselves, because I'm going to love you the same way you love you. If you hate you, then I'm going to hate you. So what's inside reflects on the outside. So if I see you not liking yourself and talking bad about yourself and beating up yourself, I'm going to join you because I think you're happy. I don't know that you're not happy. So if you like beating up on yourself, then I'm going to help you do it. I mean, I'm not doing it meanly, but I'm supporting you. So if you supporting yourself and being your worst version of yourself, then I do that too, because that's all I think you're happy, and I'm just trying to make you happy. I don't know that this is an accident and you're not doing Nuts Trump as your real self. All I see is, you know, he's this is the best version of him, so I better just help him be the best, worst version of himself. But I don't know it's your worst version. I think it's the best version when it's really the trauma version.
Wow. So, you know, that's another thing that I see a lot of coaches doing is saying, like, what is the right way to live? And what is the, you know, who should people be? Like, for me, greatest possible self, in my mind, what I see with that is that a lot of people are using powerful language. They're, you know, in alignment with their purpose, they're fulfilled, they're happy, stuff like that. But who am I to say who is someone's greatest possible self and what that looks like? That's their definition. That's for them to discover. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on how to not cross that line of telling people what to do as a coach and you know, holding a strong positive vision as a cheerleader for them to get to a better place in life, and while still respecting their space and embracing them exactly as they are.
Yeah. You know, I feel that everyone, I know everyone is unique. I know that everyone is different. I know no two people come here for the same purpose and for the same reason. And I do believe that everyone chose the body that they have. They chose the family that they have. They chose their life circumstances. And who am I to say that that's wrong? I just recently had a girlfriend who died, who was my best friend. I could never get her to get into self-improvement, personal development. I could never get her to look at alternative treatment. She suffered in life, but there was nothing I could do but just stand by and watch her to suffer. So for her, she felt the life of suffering and to have children taking care of her. So we can't intervene in people's journey and their life and what they come to learn. Some people come to learn how to love themselves. We don't know what people's purpose is. So I don't try to take that lesson away from them. Some people have eating disorder. Like, you know, I used to myself, after I got divorced from my husband, I used to eat to give myself love. So I had to, and it caused me a problem with my blood sugar. So I had to find another way to give myself love other than with food. Wow. But yeah, we find, some people find sex and men, everyone, they're looking for love outside themselves rather than looking for love inside. So I had to learn how to look for love inside. And I teach other people how to look for heal inside. There's something, there's something missing. There's something not working inside. Fix the inside and the outside will take care of itself.
Wow. So beautiful. So what would you say is the process of cultivating a loving internal environment? What are some really tactical things that we can do to shift how we see ourselves or feel about ourselves on the inside that at a very, you know, as fast as possible so that people can get over their own wounds and suffering and baggage that they've been carried and learn how to let that go and truly love themselves?
Well, we have to accept that however flawed we are the best version of that. And there is no duplication of anyone in the universe. So even anyone who's a queen or a king or a princess, whatever they are, they have their own challenges. So we have to accept our version of who we are, what we're here to learn, and know that only we can learn the lesson that we came to learn. No one can teach us how to love ourselves. I guide people on how to do that. But one of the things people can do is really start appreciating nature. Even as a young child, I used to appreciate how the flowers would blossom, how they'd open up. I'd appreciate the butterflies. I'd look at the sky and the trees. And I love trees because they give us oxygen, they're inviting, and they give us love. The sky is embracing, it's blue, and it's relaxing. The sun, I just look at nature. There's so much in nature that's inviting. Like trees just want to hug us, and they give us oxygen, and they're strong, and we can lean upon them. We don't have to go find a man or a woman to lean on. Just lean on a tree, and let it support you. I like rocks. I pick up a rock and hug a rock. I just see beauty in everything that God has made. And if I can see beauty outside, appreciating all this beauty outside, some is bound to seep inside. So start looking at nature, appreciating nature, appreciating the fact that you are part of nature, you're part of the divine plan of the universe, and you're just as important as the leaves and the birds and the flock of the air. So you're here for a purpose. So just own that and take stock that you, no one can get rid of you. You're going to be here until you choose to die. And some people choose to die early. But I would say the biggest life lesson in life is to learn how to live. It's easy to die. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. But it takes courage to get back up when you've been knocked down, when you've lost your bills, you lost your car, you lost your house, you lost your husband, you lost everything, and just have you standing naked before God, before the universe. It takes courage to keep going when you have nothing. So I would say, do not quit. And that's a poem that I learned a long time ago, but I won't recite that poem. But I found that poem, do not quit. But let me just say this. It is a poem. It's a steady, constant struggling to the goal to which you're striving, not the speed which you travel that will make your journey sure. It's an everlasting gaining without whimper or complaining at the burdens you are bearing or the woes you must endure. It's a holding to a purpose and never giving in. It's the iron will to do it and the steady sticking to it. So whatever your task, keep to it. Keep your grit and plug along, plug along, plug along until you reach that destination.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I had to recite that every day because every day is a struggle just to go and take the test and stay in the class and not get flunked out. And, I have to recite that every day just to stay in to graduate.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that we can leverage the power of poems, of stories, of, someone else's testimonial. I love that. And I wanted to ask you about that. Is there a story that you found yourself sharing with people all your life, or that you've shared more than any other, like stories of inspiration or encouragement or anything like that?
I tell them they're greater than their storm that they're going through. They're greater than their worst problem that they have, that their inner strength is inside of them. And I just really tell people, and I say that myself every day, God grant me the serenity prayer.
Yep.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There's some things we can't change. I can't change anyone else but myself. I can't change the weather. I can't change the course of life. I can only change myself. So if I'm just working on making me a better version of who I am, then life would be pretty good. But the great thing we have to realize is that life is ongoing. It never ends until we take our last breath. I need to continue to keep doing something to better myself. And I encourage other people to don't quit. Don't give up. It's going to be hard. I really believe that we're diamonds in the rough, and diamonds have to be polished. My soul has to be polished. So every challenge that I have, every problem I have, I just see it as polishing my soul and letting my light shine brighter, because without these challenges, I would not be who I am, and every challenge I've had has made me to be a better person and taken me to another level. So I would not trade the challenges and the problems that I had, because even with that bad husband that I had, he was constantly buying things. I found the money to go and buy more things. So he helped me to become a better person to go and make money, because he kept buying things. Both of my husbands, the first one died. I was a widow. The first one died. He kept buying things, and I kept finding the money to go pay for the things they bought. So it's not bad to have relationship. It's not bad to have problem relationship. I think the thing that we have to realize is that even in all those challenges and all those relationships, we can become better. There's a brighter light ahead of us. We have to continue to move through that and know that the best is yet to come. Our best set is yet to come forward. We just have to let it come shine and come out.
I love it. So we've been talking a lot about the self-love, which is awesome. I want to get into the relationship wisdom that you've picked up, and what makes a successful relationship, a successful romance, and helping each person become their greatest possible self. Share some of your wisdom on that.
Yeah, the one biggest thing I want to say, one, is that we have to accept people's imperfections. I used to try to change my husband and want him. I didn't realize, but I wanted to be like my dad. He kept saying, "You want me to be like your dad?" I said, "Oh, no, I don't." But after I left, I realized that I wanted my dad and I wanted him to be my dad. But I couldn't see that because they're too close to me. So we want to fix people, want to change people, think there's something wrong with them. There was something wrong with me too, but I just didn't see my imperfection, you know. So I could only see his imperfection because they were outside. So we have to accept people as they are. You know, we had different religion. I wanted to go to church. He didn't want to go to church. So we got to just accept people as they are and let them be who they are. Let them shine. And the one thing that I find is that we have to constantly be given, like with my girlfriend, the one that I had been had friends with for so many years, I was the one who kept the relationship going. There was times like she would just walk away from the relationship and I would call her and I'd send her a card or reach out to her. So sometimes we have to do the one who's doing the reaching. I used to think that relationship was equal and they were even, but they're not even, they're not equal. And sometimes you do all the giving and you do all the loving and all the caring and you think, well, what's wrong here? But if you really care about the person, you want to support them and support the relationship, you got to help them to realize there's a better version of themselves. And some people don't see that, but I do believe we signed up for somebody's relationship to help us to grow. And relationship help us to strengthen our weaknesses and our faults. And so as we strengthen ourselves, we also strengthen our relationship. But I think we ought to also know when the relationship has served its purpose and to move on. I've had many girlfriends and male friends that I had to say goodbye to because the relationship has served its purpose. There's no longer anything else I can do. So we have to know when to stay, when to fold, and when to shut down and move on. So if we stay too long in toxic relationship, they will kill us and destroy us. And it's better for us to let go of that and move to the next version of who else is, give us some room for somebody else to show up that's a better version of that person. So just because we married them or stay with them in a relationship, that's been at 30 years, doesn't mean you have to suffer for 30 more years. Love them. You know, you got to figure out, you should never leave a relationship until you have completion with it.
Yeah.
Do everything you can to make peace with them, love them, let them know you're unhappy, let them know why you're leaving, let them know that it's not serving you and you don't want to hurt them and be a burden on them. You don't want them burdening you, so you want to give them wings and you want to get wings, and it's time for you guys to go to the next version. And if they love you, they will give you freedom to leave.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. I love this. So before leaving a relationship, make sure you get that complete. That is so powerful because, you know, there's seasons. There's seasons of life, and sometimes people's season will end, and it'll be time for that next season to move into the next season. That could be a relationship with a different person. It could be a better relationship with yourself, whatever that is. But I really love that because if you don't get it cleaned up with them and leave empowered and at least doing your best to support them and whatever their next move is and make sure that you're supported and congruent in whatever your next move is, then that will carry with you. And we can only do as much as someone is willing to allow us to do, right? Like we can't make them do anything. We can't make them be happy about a relationship ending or whatever it might be, but we can definitely hold space for them and do our best and show up as our best self in holding space for them.
Yep, and I think if we don't get completion, we'll get another version of that same person for us to get the completion with. If you attract the same kind of person, I found that with my husband, I attracted a business partner who had those same controlling personalities. I thought, I'm going to get closure with this business partner. I'm going to love him. I'm going to work this out because I don't want to attract another male relationship like this. So it can go from personal to business. You got to figure out what it is that needs to be cleaned up. And if you're meeting controlling people, I had to grow in my self-worth to stand up and say, take my power back rather than give my power away to men. I didn't see that I was doing that. So as long as I'm passive and not asserting my rights and not creating boundaries and saying, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, you can't treat me this way, you can't talk to me this way, I will not accept this. But as long as I was being a doormat, then I found men who would walk on top of me. So I had to put on my big girl britches and get my backbone and stand strong in my power and say, hey, this is who I am and this is where I stand. So we do have to take a stand in life.
Absolutely. What do you think are some of the best ways to develop ourselves personally, to grow our mindset, to grow our wisdom?
Well, naturally, books. I mean, I have books in my car, just in my bathroom. I had about 10, 25 books in my bathroom. I'm reading books. I love books. I have them in my car. I have them in my purse. Well, you can see I have a lot of books behind me. Right. Books are my best friend. In fact, the earliest picture I had of myself is when I was like in sixth grade. I was reading a book. So I love books, you know, going, taking classes, even though I, you know, I've got my doctor. I'm constantly taking classes to educate. I'm kind of addicted to learning and evolving, but I love it because it's making me such a beautiful person.
That's right.
Because, you know, I've taken all those landmark classes, wherever class it is that I can grow myself. I'm taking those classes, and I'm like the best student in the class. But I just love evolving, growing, and being seeing a better version of myself, because as I shine and as I grow, I invite more light into my life and the world, and I spread more love and more energy and more positive vibration in the world. So as I heal me, I heal the planet.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. 100%, Dr. Ida. So as far as resources, what do you think are some of the best resources that people can use to grow themselves? You mentioned Landmark, you mentioned books. Is there any specific books that you really love?
Well, I love my books.
That's right.
Out of all, one book is special, really, is Unnecessary Relationship and How to Improve Them. Okay. I think when we can really look at relationship as a healing tool, we can really heal ourselves. So I have books on self-esteem, self-love, growing yourself. So I have book in every area in terms of how to be assessed in business, soft power negotiation skills. So these are all, I have read so many books myself, like Think and Grow Rich, you know. Right now I'm reading another book on the power of love. You know, I'm getting ready to write my book myself on how to develop and grow your intuition. So books is just an excellent resource to go into workshop, seminar, training, going to online classes. You know, I have my own online classes. I'm teaching how to develop and grow your intuition. I have my live classes. I have my online classes. So as I learn from others, I share that knowledge and that wisdom. So there are many teachers out there, and they're all good. I think you have to know which one serve you, because I was in a program for a while, and it was helping you to launch programs. And I was in that thing for like a year or so, and I got stuck there and I wasn't moving. So I had to realize that that was not, I know when to move on. And I was in another one where I was a travel agent, and I love to travel for myself, but I don't like to put to travel together for others. So you have to know when to move on. I got some good training over there, but you got to know when to move on and what you can do for yourself. So you got to use discretion. There are a lot of good books out there, a lot of good resources, a lot of workshops and seminars. You got to find the one that will help you move forward. So anything that's into love, intuition, evolving and growing, anything. I love angels. Anything about angels, I'm reading books on angels and looking on how to sell, invisible sales. But the biggest thing I'm really into now is intuition, that inner wisdom. Because what I find is as you mature, you forget things and you lose things, but your intuition will guide you. Sometimes I leave my glasses. I thought, where are my glasses? My intuition will show me where my glasses are. I put my keys down. My intuition will show me where the keys are. So the longer you live, the more your intuition becomes more powerful and more important, because it will guide you. It's like your inner guide, your GPS, to tell you where you're going, what's doing wrong, and how to move forward, and when to stand still, when to fold, and when to move forward. So intuition is the key.
What have you found? What difference has it made for you? Like your intuition, it's going to help in these different areas. And, you know, the older you get, it guides you. What difference has it made for you in your life? And not just intuition in general, but also teaching it, you know, like teaching the practice and studying it the whole holistically. How has it made a bigger difference for you?
Well, I've been clairvoyant all my life, but I put so much of my energy in education that I forgot that I was intuitive. So the kids helped me to get back into my intuitive. But what I found is that with intuition, it helps you to know how to approach people. It kind of guides you in how to be gentle, how to walk in love. It teaches inner wisdom is into another word for intuition, inner wisdom, and it guides you on how to be more loving, how to be kinder, how to be patient, how to be more tolerant, how to just kind of hold your peace and let people show up and kind of build them up. That's what this intuition is. It really has helped me with my money now, because I used to think in lack and limitation, but I realize now that there's abundance in the universe.
Yes.
And that's what the intuition guides you, let you know that there is no lack, there's no limitation, there's abundance of everything. You just have to let go of the fear and the doubt and the worry. So intuition helped me have more rounded, complete life, and let you know that everything you need is inside, and you just have to tap into that inner wisdom and that inner guidance. So that's, I'm committed to teach 10,000 people how to activate their intuition, to grow their intuition, because God told me that people only hearing their inner wisdom at 25%, and he wants me to increase that to 50%. So I am totally passionate about intuition, inner wisdom, and helping people to be their divine self.
I love it. This has been amazing. And Dr. Ida, how do people, let's wrap it up. Let's get this all packaged up, kind of an overview, final take-home points. And then we want to know, how do we stay connected with you? How does our listener or viewer stay connected with you? And what do we want them to do next?
Okay, well, I do have a 3-step self-love and intuition system. It's a Develop and Grow Your Intuition 5-person, 5-week coaching program. I have an intuition activation, the full body, and that's on my website. I have an energetic healing program that has 3 components: realigning the chakras, resetting the biological natural rhythm, and growing the crown chakra. So these are my 3-step system. My website is www.connectedtodivine.com. www.connectedtodivine.com. You can go on there and you get a free ebook. You can also, I do readings, you know, intuitive readings, helping people look at their life. I call it like a life assessment, where I can look at their life and tell them where they are stuck and what areas they need to move in. And that's an awesome thing. But the intuitive is the best gift you can give yourself. If you want to do a reading with me, go on the website, do a reading, and you want to go further in the coaching program. If you want to know about the intuition, I am the guru. I'm the intuitive guru.
I love it. Oh my gosh, Dr. Ida, you are the bomb. Thank you so much for sharing that. And then any final words of wisdom that you want our audience to really receive from this interview?
Yeah, life is ongoing. Intuition is the key. You have the answers. Everything you need is inside of you. Look at your inner self and grow your divine self every day. And know that life is continuous. Life is good. You're good. And the universe is always there to support you. Love you much.
Boom. I love it.
Intuitive relationship coach.
Thank you, Dr. Ida. And everyone, definitely stay connected with Dr. Ida. If you want to see her next book that's coming out on intuition, if you want to join her course, if you want to just keep in contact with her and let her know how your intuition is evolving and coming about, definitely do that. And Dr. Ida, thank you so much for coming on today. You're a superstar, and we love your energy. We love your wisdom, and it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Love you much. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Ida. Have the best day ever, okay?
Thank you. Love you.
All right. Bye-bye. See you soon. Bye-bye. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.employeeescapeplan.com.
www.thebetterbusinessmindset.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.